Hi, thanks for joining us for another episode of The State of the Church. I'm Kim. I've been here on staff at Calvary in the areas of worship and communications, and I'll let my friends introduce themselves.
I'm Bill. I'm the gathering pastor of Calvary Tyrone. I've been here for around 3 years.
And I'm Isaac. I'm a little newer around these parts, serving part-time right now as the executive director and overseeing some ministry and operational folks. And today is a fun continuation, really, of our conversation around CWOW and how that relates to our strategy as a church, our philosophy as a church. And really, it moves us from a church that has an aspired value to be a church without walls to an actual value of we are a church about without walls. And so we're going to ask some, or maybe answer some, frequently asked questions that people might be still stirring with. And a few episodes ago, Dan mentioned some thoughts around the importance of CWOW. And so would love to hear from Kim and Bill around your experience personally and how this has also affected your teams as we move towards being a church without walls. And so would love to hear from both of you guys in your experience here at Calvary. What was it like when that first Church Without Walls CWOW Sunday happened for you personally? What did you feel? What did you think? What did you experience? And how did that affect that first go at it for you?
I know when we first started talking about it as a staff, my brain starts to shut down because I don't love change. But thank the Lord, being on staff, I've really asked the Lord to help me embrace change because we a pretty steadily changing culture, which I'm learning is a good thing. It keeps life added in. And so it was hard at first because worship is a big part of what I do. And we had come off of the whole shutdown season of not having normal church. And it felt a little sad to me to lose a Sunday. But the more that I've been able to get on board, the more exciting it is to me to see what the Lord's going to do through that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Bill, how about you?
Yeah, so for me, I was super excited. You know, obviously I struggle with change as well. But, you know, for me, as I looked at it, I was like, this is a move of kind of, you know, pushing all your chips into the center table, right? It's like, we talked about this Church Without Walls. We talk about being the church, not necessarily just going to church. And I felt like, you know, to be intentional, to take the initiative to say, look, we are behind this 100%, that we're actually going to do something that is kind of counterculture. Like, we're going to dive into this and we're going to take the time. We're going to provide an opportunity so that way, you know, people who say, well, I just don't have the time to do it. Well, we're going to free that up and we're going to free up a Sunday and this is going to be an opportunity. And not only that, but just to structure it, you know, these are some themes that you can dig into and ways to kind of dive into it, whether it's, you know, being around a campfire, outdoor moving, all of that kind of stuff, you know, inviting your neighbor, doing prayer walks, all of that stuff was, you know, set before us to the point where it was like, okay, we don't have to put too much thought into this. We just have to do it now. Yeah. So for me, I thought it was awesome. It was bold. I knew there'd be pushback. I knew there'd be people who were, you know, sitting there like fish out of water. What do we do? We've done this all of our lives. You know, what is church if we don't show up on a Sunday morning to a building? And so, in which all of that stuff, obviously, I love, but at the same time, I felt like this is kind of who we should be. So that's, I really felt like we were intentional in doing that.
Yeah, that's good. For me, personally, my first exposure to a CWOW Sunday was before I was ever connected to a Calvary location of any kind. In my neighborhood, I found out that people that attended a Calvary location close to where we live were now all of a sudden knocking on my door and asking, how can I pray for you? How can I serve you? What do you need? And I'm noticing that every fourth Sunday, this seems to happen. It was kind of a unique experience for me. Every fourth Sunday, I'd have neighbors moving into my life with an expression of the gospel. And so for me, it was really the first time it brought me back to the book of Acts, Acts 2, where they're moving into the neighborhood and we see a gospel expression take place outside of a produced service, right? And so so in your experience leading in a church and just attending, you know, church services as Christians, What is our connection to a Sunday morning as kind of the Super Bowl, right? Why do you think that's the emphasis in our culture, in our church strategy, and something like CWOW seems to be really countercultural, especially within Christendom, right? And so what are some thoughts around that? What comes to mind in your experience?
I mean, for me, I grew up in the church. Like from the day I was born, my family was always in church. We were there 3 times a week. I think it feels countercultural to miss a Sunday. I don't know that we were ever shamed for missing a Sunday, but it always felt off to not, you know, you couldn't be at church on Sunday if you're sick or you're whatever. So I think that is just for me personally, and anyone maybe who grew up in the church, it's so deeply ingrained that that's just, it's a good habit, but it's such a habit that it carves out that deep rut. And it's hard to change. It's hard to change that expectation. Yeah.
This is where I kind of come in as like the rebel, right? It's like, I didn't grow up in the church. From an outsider's perspective, looking at it, you know, I got it. There were a lot of things that I had questions about, maybe issues with. But for me, as soon as, like I said, I heard about the CWOW Sunday, I was super excited because I felt like this was, you referenced Acts. So for me, the first two chapters in Acts really kind of spell out church for me. Right? That was my initial understanding of like what it should be. One is, you got Pentecost, you got people sharing the gospel, coming to Christ. And then in chapter two, all of a sudden you read, hey, you know, they're selling things, they're giving to each other as each other has need. You know, they're praying together, they're studying together. You know, and it doesn't say that all of that's happening in the temple or in the church, mm-hmm. right? They're eating together. They're praying together. And then you see, you know, they meet day by day in the temple. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm like, yeah, it's one of the things, mm-hmm. but it's not the thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't grow up with that as being the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love church. I love Sunday morning. I love, it's the place where, you know, I can gather, see everyone because I don't necessarily get to see them all, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, my being a Christ follower doesn't end there. You know, I don't just check in, punch the clock, and then punch out and be like, well, I did my thing. I'm not saying everybody does that, but at the same time, I look at it in our culture, like, we use certain verbiage where it's like, well, what are you doing? It's like, well, I'm going to church, right? This is something I'm doing. You know, I can't wait till Sunday to go to church. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute, we didn't just stop being Christ followers. We don't just stop like loving people. We don't just stop serving the Lord. We don't just stop looking to where the Holy Spirit's working. Like, we keep going, you know? I love the terms that we use when we were talking about, like, this is our halftime. We're coming in here, we're getting instructions. I love sports, right? We're getting instructions. And then we're moving out. And so for me, I was like, that's right on. Like, we need to understand that kind of that change and saying, okay, yeah, we're coming here and this is a great opportunity. I don't want to vilify the building per se. Because, you know, in Calvary Tyrone, we use the building for a lot of things. It's a great centralized spot. We're right downtown. Yeah. So we can really kind of dive into our FYM, our front yard mission, in that building because a lot of people live in the rural areas. They don't really necessarily have neighbors. They work remotely. So for us, it's like, we have an opportunity to be downtown and be involved so we can kind of do FYM from there. So we're not going to vilify the building, but at the same time, it's not just where we meet on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Right? And so that is really, for us, that's the culture we want to dive into. It doesn't end. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just an opportunity.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. I mean, what that really brings to mind was, so Dan laid out six principles, if you will, that moving towards a CWOW model of doing church really rises to the surface. And one that stuck out to me was along the lines of what you both are getting at in a way, was the kind of deconstruction of the discipleship of consumerism, right? That we go to a building to receive a service. And we call it a service, right? And if you think about it, the elements of what goes into a Sunday morning, not that they're bad, it's just that we've made them primary, right? Like, my kids can be watched. There's a hot cup of coffee. There's a smiling face. There's an encouraging word and three awesome songs, right? That's a great day. But if that's all that there is to walking with Jesus, man, then we've fallen short as being fully formed disciples, right? And so I wanted to ask you guys, what stuck out in some of those principles that Dan mentioned to you personally, and then in the context and the team that you lead as well?
Yeah, so for me, it was the change, right? From saying, well, we church is something we go to, mm-hmm. to we are the church,
yeah.
right? Yeah. I talked a little bit about that. It was interesting because as much as we say that, and I already mentioned this, but we have a hard time finding the words then to describe what we do Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? If it's not something, if this is not just something we do, you know, what do we say? And I've even tried it. You know, I'll tell people like, Sunday morning, I'm going to meet you at the place where we gather. Mm-hmm. Right? And it just yeah. sounds weird. They're like, you mean church? I'm like, yes, I do mean church, but at the same time, yeah. I want to get away. There needs to be a broader understanding. Mm-hmm. Like the definition has to be broader, right? I'm not going to meet you. If we are the church, this isn't the church, right? We got to do, there's a distinction.
Yeah.
So what do I say to that? Right? How do I term that? And I think people understand it. I think more and more as we've been kind of in this, I'm going to say, I don't want to say season because I don't want it to end, but you know, we're in embracing this sea well. And so I see people, more and more people saying, you know, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, the terminology, I can't get away from it, you know, because it's something that's just embedded, but I get it. Like we're more than just meeting here.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, it's that change, you know, and it's not always comfortable.
Yeah.
The reality is not like, I know in watching this series, the State of the Church series, two of the things that kind of kept repeating for me and the Lord impressing upon my heart was this idea of comfort and obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We as people, we love comfort. We gravitate towards comfort. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why church, you know, is this place, this box mm-hmm. that we want to constantly come back mm-hmm. to. It's comfortable. We know what to expect. Right. And because honestly, if we get something that we don't expect, we're freaked out by it, right? You know, but if when we show up, we know what to expect. As you said, a cup of coffee, my kids are going to be watched, we're going to give you a message,
yeah.
three songs. So the comfort part, though, is we need to be, I saw this quote, comfortable in being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. To me, that's faith, because I grow mm-hmm. when I'm uncomfortable,
yeah.
right? And I think about Jesus, I mean, this is just my mind, and it's wacky, I know. What he ran into. So that you have the demoniac, right? If I show up there with Jesus, I'm not comfortable. Some dude butt naked in a cemetery, breaking yeah. chains and like be, you know, possessed. I'm yeah. not comfortable in that.
Yeah. yeah.
Showing up to somebody who's got a contagious disease. Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable in that.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable, to be quite honest, where we're at. You know, I see people dealing with addiction. I see people dealing with homelessness and poverty. I'm not necessarily comfortable in that. So for me, it's got to be a change from, well, am I comfortable, to, all right, I'm going to be uncomfortable and I want to be comfortable with that. And how do I get to that? I get to that through obedience.
Yeah.
Obedience yeah. and knowing that he says, look, hey, you're following me. I'm calling you to love people, because ultimately that's a choice.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the gushy feelings. It's a choice.
Yeah.
I'm going to love you. I'm going to put your needs above my own. Hmm. Right? And I get it. I'm showing up. I'm seeing you. It's freaking me out, but I'm going to be here. I'm going to obey. And so those two things for me, as I look at this series and just, you know, talking about like, okay, what does it mean then Sunday morning? Well, Sunday morning means I'm interruptible. It means, yeah, I know what to expect, but in the same sense, there might be some things that go on that are uncomfortable that I got to be comfortable with in my obedience.
How about you, Kim?
I think of those six things that Dan laid out, the one that spoke to me a lot was surrender, creating that culture of surrender and just knowing, you know, as we walked through even shutdown, there was a lot of surrender going on. And when it came to worship and leading worship and worship team, we were still functioning, but it was so weird because we were in a space with no other people, just us. And I mean, it really drove home the worshiping an audience of one, right? Because there was nobody else there to help us worship or to kind of feed off of each other to worship. And then coming into Seawell Sunday and, oh, we're going to lose that even. Like, we're going to lose one of those Sundays. And just remembering that it's not about what we do in the building. It's not about what we create there. It's about our hearts and what we're doing in our neighborhoods. And
Yeah. That's good. So good. And so what I'm hearing is the church is people, not necessarily a building, right? It seems to me that the more we lean into a CWOW strategy, that it just kind of brings to the surface just our, like you're saying, like that almost sinfulness of we revere a building instead of seeing it as a resource, right? So we started the conversation around what were maybe some of the tensions that came to mind during that first CWOW experience for you personally and for your teams. Let's pivot kind of as we land the conversation. What's been going amazingly for you personally or for your family or for your neighborhood? What's something we could celebrate even that God is doing as we are the church moving into the neighborhood on mission with Jesus? What comes to mind?
It feels like a little thing to me when I hear other people's stories about what's happening in their front yard mission. But part of my front yard mission and on CWOW weekends, I try to focus more on that is a group of people that have become friends because our dogs all play together just about every day. And there's one lady who I won't name. I don't know if she'd ever see this, who kind of separated herself from everyone and just isn't always the nicest person. And I don't know why. But when we all kind of do little Christmas gifts, and I had included her with my Christmas gift. It was silly. It was like little chocolate-covered pretzels and a little bone for the dog. And for whatever reason, this opened a pathway to conversation. Like, we talk every time we're there at the same time, to the point of her sending another lady to me that I hadn't met that happened to show up one day. And she came over and said, "This lady told me that you work for that church up there. And I just wanted to thank you. We walk up there and we hear that music coming out and we love that." So the lady that I've known for years came back around to me and said, "I see that sign that says a church without walls, and you guys are really doing that." It blew me away. It really blew me away.
Incredible. That's awesome.
I love it when we talk about God celebrates the small things. It's like, and to me, there's nothing small about it. So like, for me, I would say I tend to like have my own, obviously, personal neighborhood where I live, where I reside, right? And for me, I grew up in Tyrone, native Tyronian, blue collar, hard nosed, right? A lot of people dealing with hurt and whatnot. And so when COVID hit and, you know, really kind of focusing on my neighborhood, I was like, man, we never talk to each other. I don't hardly ever see any of these people outside of meeting at Sheetz. Yeah. And so I said, how can I kind of engage and kind of encourage communication? So, and this is once again a small thing, but to see it now and how it's grown, like you think Facebook group, right? Because for me, I thought, well, first and foremost, we need to be able to communicate. Like, that took off like wildfire. And I know I was like, well, this isn't like something like, this isn't rocket science, right? This isn't something, I'm not creating something new or, but it was something where it's like, oh, let me bridge kind of the gap of, let's be able to communicate. You know, I know most of the people. We're a community. And interesting about my community is we're right outside of Tyrone. We're kind of our own isolated community. And so it's, you know, literally a couple, maybe five blocks. And you can prayer walk this thing. You know, it's about a mile and a half, right, round trip. And you can know everybody who lives in your neighborhood, right? And so starting that and seeing people communicate with each other and pray for each other and has made FYM a lot easier, you know, to the point of like, hey, we're having donuts in the driveway, you know, please show up. And then all of a sudden you have people come, or, hey, we're going to do a Christmas Eve kind of get together. You know, we'd love to help. We'd all of a sudden neighbors, we'd love to help. We want to be part of that. And not people part of Calvary per se. Right, it was like, no, we want that. We want that for our kids. Let us do that. And so that's kind of in one sense, even when we had like the food drives, people saying, I'd send something out. Hey, I'm going to pick up boxes of food. Anybody need anything? Boom. You know, four or five people. Hey, I would love to have it. Love to have it. Yeah. And that, so that one small step, right, just like pays dividends. And then I look at where we're situated, our building, downtown, and I say, we have tons of apartments. We're right downtown. This is an opportunity to not only for me to dive into that community, but in that neighborhood, but for others who don't have necessarily a neighborhood to use that as their FYM spot. So we can do things like cookie crawls and be part of the Irish Heritage Days parade and pass out popcorn and just love on neighbors who are there and invite others in, and kind of that idea of like, well, I'm going to do lead by example. We're going to provide opportunities. So there's no, say this, excuse to say, well, I just don't have neighbors. No, you have an opportunity here. And so being able to use that also and pray for those people who live in that area, you know, really kind of dig into FYM, invite people along. Those are things that really kind of, when I think about front yard mission, like those are the two areas where I look at.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Well, one of my favorite translations of the intro, the opening of the book of John is found in the Message when it says the word became flesh and it moved into the neighborhood, right? That's really what we're talking about. It's how are we incarnating the gospel where we live, where we work, where we play, so that Jesus can be magnified. And it makes me think, like, what if people met Jesus in my driveway? What if people are growing as a disciple around my kitchen table across the meal, right? And I really think we're getting back to the intent of the church as movement into the neighborhood when we're moved into the neighborhood, right? And so, man, well, thank you guys for sharing some of your experiences. And it's really obvious that God is moving in a unique way as we're aiming to be a church without walls, right? And so I hope this was encouraging for you as well as you're listening in. Bill, would you just pray over CWOW, over our church, over our strategy, and that God would continue to be God and we would listen and follow him well? Love to.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for how you are working in your church. Lord, that I almost feel like getting back to that first love, what church was intended to be, Lord. And as we look in your word of just people who, you know, in their daily lives, I mean, they were the church. They loved others, Lord. They met their needs. They met and they broke bread and they prayed and they got into your word. And Lord, I thank you for kind of, you know, taking away some of, you know, even though good things, but could have been distractions, Lord, just to kind of clarify things for us and to show us what you intended for your church, Lord. And I just pray that you continue to, like, give us wisdom, Lord, give us clarity, show us opportunities to where you're working, that we could join you there. Lord, give us opportunities to be comfortable in being uncomfortable and loving others, Father, and serving you, and Lord, and truly growing your church, Lord. And I just pray that you continue to bless those who are obedient in this, Lord, that you would bless them, Lord, that you would continue to just kind of spread your word and spread your love, Lord, that your kingdom would grow, because ultimately that's the goal, Lord, is to share you with others, be you and shine your light through us, Lord. And so we thank you for this time. We thank you for what seems to be in our nation, this time of revival and deep hunger. And Lord, so we just pray you continue to do what you do. And we just want to be along for the ride. We just thank you and we love you. It's in your son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.